on today's episode of The Cooligans. We talk about a lot, but in particular, we talk about the Olympics. It didn't start the way we wanted.
The U.S. has a lot of work to do. We'll also talk about the drama between Argentina and Morocco. Also, we'll talk a little Dominican Republic soccer.
Oh, that's right. They made their win. Also, we talk a little bit about MLS All-Star. And unfortunately, we also talk about U.S. Open Cup.
Let's go. So Alexis, I have to show you this video. Apologies to the audio listeners because it's not going to be the same exact experience. So go make sure you tune in on YouTube. But I have to show you this because pizza is a big part of our show, our program.
Massive part of my life.
Exactly. When we first started,
my cardiologist is very happy about it because they're like, you know what? Let's get the bigger Porsche.
when the Cooligans began, Alexis was doing pizza tours. Yes. I was doing freelance IT work.
Just to remind you how I got the job, I went on a pizza tour and I knew so much about pizza, the guy offered me a job.
Exactly. He's like, you're not only the customer, you now own the business. So pizza, a big part of our show. We've taken players on pizza tours and all that sort of stuff. It's incredible. I always appreciate
In our logo.
Exactly. Yeah. So I always appreciate the input. And so one of the things that we got to do recently, obviously I had a baby last year.
Yeah.
And it
that has nothing to do with me.
Nothing to do with you. Okay. It wasn't a team effort.
No.
I
did root for you the whole time.
but we gave him pizza for the first time.
This is a big moment.
So this
in
is
every child's life.
A big moment. So I wanted to show that this is the first time Alexis is also seeing this.
Mm.
This is the first time.
I will have you know that the screen is frozen right now on the pizza, and I've already got heavy judgment on the first pizza you're feeding this child.
So just to be
can we start with the fact that there's pieces of what I believe is broccoli on the edge of the crust.
Yes. And I think that is, there's a lot of vegetables in my home.
I think you would struggle to find broccoli in the majority of pizza shops. So I don't know how broccoli comes into contact with the edge of the crust.
This isn't a pizza that intentionally has broccoli on it.
Uh-huh.
And this is probably because we give them a lot of different vegetables.
Yeah.
And it probably, there was some cross contamination with the broccoli.
You're too close, fam.
So this is my son Mateo having his first ever, or at least his first ever pizza.
Yeah.
So so here he goes.
Yeah, pizza. Mateo's trying pizza for the first time. Take a bite. Bite.
Welcome to the rest of your life, kid.
Oh. He rejected.
Can I ask you a question about this pizza? For those of you who can see it. Now, first of all, great job rejecting a pizza that has broccoli anywhere near it. Second of all, this is vegan cheese pizza.
This is a vegan cheese pizza. That is correct.
It
is
now, not, do you know how I know that?
How do you know that?
Because I can look at the cheese and tell you that is vegan cheese. Now, the reason this child rejected it is because of the vegan cheese.
Okay.
This has nothing to do with pizza on a whole.
All right.
This is like if the first time you show someone a basketball game, it is the London Towers versus the Birmingham, whatever the hell they have going on over there.
Right.
That, you're not going to make an NBA fan. You know what I mean? You're going to say to someone, this isn't a sport I necessarily want to be a part of.
You're not giving them the best product up front.
Nah.
Right.
If the first soccer game you take a kid to is the Faroe Islands versus Fiji, you may not be building a tifosi. You know what I mean? This right here is near criminal, and I blame both of you. This child has not tried pizza. What this child has tried is vegan cheese covering over what I believe is a vehicle for secret vegetables.
Fair. Okay. I just wanted to get your honest reaction.
I will say, as Uncle Alexis, I feel the need now to drive to New Jersey and bring this child a slice of Lindustrie so that he knows there's better out there, kid.
Alexis, why are you calling Child Protective Services?
Yeah. Also, your phone says Massimo on it, not Child Protection Services.
So shout out to Mateo having his first pizza.
This was the first idea, but I like the fact that he pushed it away. He said, somewhere deep in my soul, I know this isn't good enough. And I want all of you to do the same if you're ever handed a slice with broccoli on the edge and vegan cheese on top.
You never had the broccoli crust pizza?
Nah.
It's delicious.
Yeah. That, you know that's not going to be successful in America. Broccoli stuffed crust is not going to be a hit here.
So, fun, exciting way to start off the show. Hello, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerreros, and I was just drinking water.
Yeah, let's go. We out here. The Cooligans are back with a brand new episode. I mean, we got to talk about the Olympics. We have to about a lot of drama there, because the Olympics, we haven't even had the opening ceremony.
Yeah.
And it's already been.
Already. There's there's concerns. There's people yelling out.
There's
a whole country who feel like they've been, you know, jilted. What's the term I'm looking for here? Screwed over?
both work, I guess. Yeah. So we'll get to all the stuff with obviously the U.S., getting demolished by France, the debacle with Argentina and Morocco, and we'll get some Dominican Republic news here.
Hey, you got a draw for the DR,
bro. All right, we got a lot to celebrate.
Could it have been more? We'll find out in the next segment. But for right now, let's talk a little USA France. Just off the top. If you don't know, US loses 3-0 to France.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and maybe you saw the clip on Yahoo Sports. Shouts to Yahoo Sports.
Yahoo!
All right. Maybe you saw the clip, and you heard me say, hey, it's not as bad as you think. But it's also not as good as you think, now that I said it's not as bad as you think.
Because I'm trying to parse those words, and I'm like, where is the exact optimism that you're sort of finding?
I don't think it was a demolition. You said they got demolished. I don't agree.
Okay.
What I think happened was, hey, we did pretty good for a lot of it.
All right.
You know?
Imagine
you go to a party and you leave absolutely sloshed. You're drunk. You got to get carried out.
Uh-huh.
Yo, that wasn't a good party. But if you look at the first 8 photos you took, it's not that bad. You know what I mean?
Right. If you don't post anything else after those 8, it looks like this was a nice party. You had a good time.
You blew that whistle at 65 minutes? It's not that bad of a game.
Right. And that's the thing is, like, I had tweeted this yesterday, you know, the classic, they had us in the first half.
Yeah, you remixed that.
But I got to remix. They had us in the second half. OK, because that's exactly what happened. Honestly, the second half was so.
You're really proud of yourself for that tweet, Ainge. Show it on.
Not very proud.
I was like, when I saw it, I was like, ah, nice. But I'm like, all right, let's show it on the show.
I feel like you're proud of me. That's really good.
I'm proud of you for everything other than that pizza. We'll have a conversation after the show, Beth.
I was genuinely surprised that was the second half that we had. You know what I mean? Because the first half.
I wasn't. Because once you go back down a goal, you have to create space, no? Like, you have to go for it. That creates more space.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden.
I thought it might.
Let's talk about the first half.
Okay.
Because that's something I think we all agree on. We're like, hey.
Look at this.
Not bad.
The U.S. YNT, the babies are doing great.
What I would say, man, can we call it the C squad? This is the C squad.
I don't even want to sort of do that because I feel like it puts an unnecessary sort of pressure because there are older players that are, to me, C squad. This is a youth team. These are the under 23 players.
Most of these guys have already played with the senior team.
Not most. Some haven't. Who has it?
Most.
Okay.
Most have.
All right. We'll have to look at the lineup just to confirm. Yeah. But
Kevin Paredes has. John Tolkien has. I'm trying to think. Griffin Yao got one opportunity recently.
Yeah, you're right.
Tesman, Busio.
Nathan Harrio,
Nathan Harrio. All right, you good.
Yeah.
Schulte, first time in, even though he's a little bit older. And maybe Duncan McGuire.
Paxton Aronson has senior.
I think he's gotten one run out.
All right, well, okay.
And Georgie Mihailovic, we know of.
Not the important part of the conversation, but the overall.
I would call it the C squad. We disagree, but I would say for the C squad, this was an amazing showing. And that was the point I'm trying to make for a lot of players that probably won't be getting a lot of burn on the senior squad.
Sure.
I think we could both agree. Maybe Kevin Paredes showed that he has a future, right? Duncan McGuire showed he could be a nice change of pace. Harriel, there's still a lot to be seen. Tolkien in moments. Tesman absolutely showed he belongs, at least in the conversation with the senior
squad. Looks comfortable, yeah.
And Busio, I think, making his way there. I really don't have Paxton Aronson, I don't think I saw enough of. But I think for the most part, first half, we're like, all right, we took it to them.
Yeah.
We showed we can hang with them. We can be defensive. We can transition. Kevin Paredes switching to the right was like a nice surprise, even for their back line.
Okay.
Using him to be the outlet to give us more space and to make the transition was good. I kind of wish he would have gone back to the left where he's supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
where I think, you know, you use him a bit more effective. But for that first half, I walked away going, all right, we're not getting dog walked here.
Right. And that I think the thing I was impressed by the most is that the senior team style of play, I think, has trickled down very well to this team, where what was most impressive was the U.S. were getting out of difficult positions. They were playing out of the back very well, not really handling the press. Whenever France pressed, they handled it well. Weren't too there. I can't really remember of any specifically like bad turnovers in bad spots.
There were some bad passes. In one particular, I remember Duncan McGuire with like a backheel turn, a very Giroux.
Yeah, he tried it. It didn't work out. But that was that's up the field. Yeah, you're trying to be creative.
Yeah, we also weren't getting that many opportunities. So I'm like, come on, hold on to these. Let's not give them away easily. But yeah. I completely agree with you. I do think though, but to your point about the press, I actually think our press was more effective against France than France's press was effective against us, which is a huge, huge positive. Because I don't think we knew we didn't know what Marko Mitrović exactly was going to do. We knew it would be similar to the senior team,
mm-hmm.
but we also didn't know how effective it would be.
Yeah, when we look at the possession numbers, 53 to 47, that's against France.
Respectable.
That's
bro.
Respectable. It was
give us a point for that. You know,
Olympics, change the rules a little bit. Yeah, give us a half a point.
This ain't a FIFA thing. You can do whatever you want.
Don't listen to FIFA. Okay?
Bro, who is FIFA?
But the you're 53 to 47 possession, 10 shots to 9, 4 on target to 3, duels won. Look, and we won more duels, 43 to 57. That's a decent showing. Yeah. It's like the fact, that's why I was surprised
if
that it was.
If you just saw that, you would know it was 3-0.
Exactly. The fact that it was 3-0 is like the surprise and the shock because they were playing so composed. And yes, we were saying this before we started recording. I think that first goal was very demoralizing because Lacazette scores, I mean, an incredible goal, but it's also like, it's where you would want him to be taking shots from. He's outside the 18-yard box. It's like,
you mean like it's a low quality shot or like a low percentage shot?
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
By the way, both the first two goals came from the exact same spot.
Exactly. I mean, but the second one from Olise was like, no, that was a proper banger.
He used his foot to turn that into a high quality shot. Yeah.
So you got to give him credit there. But the Lacazette shot was just like, you can see players sort of not closing down. And it's one of those things where you're like, even if he takes it from me, he ain't making it. Okay. Yeah. I play with Lacazette on EAFC. Yeah. His card is only like at 83 right now. He's not even doing it like that.
Bro, whatever. Look how far he is.
And it's like,
this poor old man who's being forced to run around with these children.
I mean, somebody, we should really contact the French authorities. Yeah. All right. Because I'm kind of worried about this guy.
This is geriatric cruelty. and by the way, I do want to give credit to Thierry Henry for picking him because I thought about it as he was playing. I'm like, oh, yeah, he don't get burned on the senior team. He's not getting a chance to be on the World Cup squad.
Yeah.
He's not getting a chance to be on the Nations League squad. He's treating this like his World Cup. This is his last chance to shine internationally at the age he's at, where especially for the chance to win an award. And what better trophy if you want to play for your home country than a gold medal?
Yeah.
Like, what a genius move picking this guy, knowing just how enthused this man would be to play for this.
I also didn't.
Genius. Why are we doing that?
I also didn't realize that Henri had, because I'm used to seeing him in suits all the time.
How jacked he is?
How jacked he is. And then also all the tattoos on arms.
He's covered. By the way, shouts to Bang Bang Tattoo. He's covered in Bang Bang Tattoos, which if you don't know is a very high-end shop here in New York. It's like 7 months to get an appointment, unless your name is Thierry Henry. He walks in and says, get this fucking guy off the table. It's time for me to get my... But his sleeve is like art.
Yeah. I mean, it was just one of those like, I'm looking at him on the sidelines and I'm like, okay, Thierry Henry, I was not familiar with your game.
Yeah, no, my G is... The first time he dapped me up, like for real dapped me up, the professional, hello, how are you? you realize like, oh, you strong, strong. You know, you're not the svelte guy that was running up and down pitches anymore. You putting time in the gym.
Yeah, I can't find a proper photo of it, but maybe we can add it in post or something. But good on him. I mean, because he was always like as a player. And even when he was coaching for Montreal, I was at the game, the Champions League game against Saprissa. And I was kind of right behind the Montreal bench. I saw him there. He's always a lean guy, and that's how he always was built. But something must have happened
during lockdown. He went to the gym, bro.
My man was like,
I feel maybe he didn't order a 40 pack of Doritos like I did during lockdown. That's what I'm guessing.
Okay, everybody you know coped in their own way.
Yeah.
So
mine was by staring at the cool ranches that were left, going, should I just order a new 40 pack?
There was a little.
They sell a 40 pack on Amazon, by the way, folks.
Meaning 40 chips or 40 packs of chips?
Oh, 40 packs of chips, okay. My friend.
So, but yeah, there was a little bit of you know, seeing Thierry Henry on the sideline. I'm like, this because obviously he coached in MLS and played in MLS, and I'm sure he has a lot of affinity for the US and obviously the US team.
Well, because his name has come up in the conversation for men's national team coach.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of times I keep hearing people reference how much he still pays attention to MLS, still watches the league, and how much he feels he understands the American player.
Exactly.
Now, whether that's spinning it because, you know, they want him to be like that comes from real journalism, I don't know, but you know, even the times that I've spoken to him, a little bit of a flex, because it's probably never going to happen again. The times that I've spoken to him, he's really aware of what's happening, especially because Wilfred Nancy was his assistant and then obviously went on to just win MLS Cup.
Yeah.
I think he's really involved in what's happening. He really has a deep understanding of what's
going on. And now Wilfred Nancy, even at MLS All-Star, everybody was like, hey, you're going to be the coach US? Yeah. What's going on? What are you doing? Why are you doing it here in Columbus?
Yeah, why are you wasting time in MLS, MLS All-Star? Go coach.
You got the question like 1,000 times. Yeah. It's so wild. But but there was a little bit of like wanting to beat France. At least for me, I'm watching and I'm like, but I also want to beat Thierry Henry. Like what that would mean for the US project in soccer to defeat such a legendary player. I thought would kind of go a long way.
And in their home country, at the inaugural game
And again, in that first half, I was like, I don't even think it was delusion. I'm like, we're going to beat France.
No, yeah, you were like, yo, we're in his head, bro. They don't know what to do with us.
He don't know how to prepare for us.
Nah, fam, you can know all the players you want, but you don't know what happens when the whistle blows. There was part of me that was like, bro, we might say something.
Yeah.
But once that first goal went in,
yeah,
I was like, and by the way, that was a complete goal loss. It came out of nowhere. It wasn't with the run of play. It was one of those things where I was like, how do you react to that if you're the U.S.? How do you respond if you're this, you know, youth group? And when I say group, they're the C, C squad. I don't mean that in a negative way, shape, or form at all. I actually think that's a positive for them. How do you respond to that, Marko Mitrovic? How do you respond to this? How do you get this team prepared? And they did, bro. That header, John Tolkien off the post.
Yeah.
That was, if that goes in, I'm telling you, the momentum may change. I'm not saying that the end of the match changes. But
before that, the Mihajlovic post was first.
Yeah, I think that was crossbar, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that was hit the crossbar first. And that was when it was 0-0. And then I think Lacazette scored a couple moments after that.
But to immediately respond off the goal.
That would have been
shows like a really good mentality.
The pass from Kevin Paredes, shout out to República Dominicana again. We're on every team. Right?
We're in every conversation, bro. I don't know how I put myself in there all of a sudden.
Okay. No, but Kevin, especially in that second half, and I think on the broadcast, they were mentioning it as well. I forgot who was on the call exactly, but mentioning like that the, you know, Kevin Paredes, like taking chances, even losing the ball, going 1v1, like the kind of, it reminded me of the way Tim Weah is at the right wing. Just like really going for it, sending in crosses. He
created a little doubt in the defender too. Like, is he going to come at me? Is he going to pass?
Exactly.
That's good.
Yeah. So that was, it was good to see that confidence. And that ball that Kevin Paredes sent to John Tolkien was just flawless.
Yeah.
And then the...
To spot that run at the far post.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Kevin Paredes, bro.
Initially, I was like, oh, great save by the keeper. But the fact that it hit the post,
There was no save.
There was no save.
Yeah.
And that's like the frustrating part. It was just like a couple inches to the side and boom. And it's like it's a tie game. And, you know, the whole tone of the game changes. So it's nice to see those chances. I think even getting a goal would have helped the team in for their next game against against New Zealand and just having that confidence. So that was the most disappointing part, that we just did not get a goal. But clearly the chances were there. Creating real threatening chances. The goalkeeper, you know, he also stopped the header.
Yeah, no, he had. I think he had three saves.
Yeah, Restes, who's he stopped the header. I forgot. It might have been from Duncan McGuire. I don't remember exactly who, but the one that went that deflected and went down. I think it was Paxton Aronson. And so he had to make a couple difficult saves. And that's kind of the main thing that I was happy to see, because a lot of, you know, the U.S. men haven't been in the Olympics since 2008. It's like a lot of these guys, how old were they when the last time the U.S. was at the Olympics? They were, five, 6 years old, probably.
There's video of them eating pizza during that game for the first time.
So it's a, I thought, again, the result doesn't necessarily reflect that. And you sort of mentioned it in your Yahoo video. We got it. We're contractually required to hit that button whenever the word is mentioned.
Right. Yeah. Three more and we get a bonus. I don't know if you guys know that.
Okay, we don't want to take advantage of it too much. Anyway, so that was like the positives to take from it. But yeah, it is disappointing to see that result, because you know, there's are the third place. I think does it work the same way like at the World Cup, the best third? I think it's two of the best third place teams. I could be wrong. I heard it was also maybe for the women. Apologies.
Regardless, we have quality enough, and I know I said this during Copa America, to finish at least second in this group.
100%. Yeah.
But remember, we all thought New Zealand was the worst team, and they just beat Gambia? No. Who's Guinea.
Guinea, yeah.
They just beat Guinea. So, you know? So now, if you're in New Zealand, you can kind of park the bus in the next match and make it more difficult for us. But, you know, if you want to get through, getting knocked out of the group is yet another capitulation and a line of capitulations for this men's U.S. national team. I said that backwards. U.S. men's national team. I confused even myself there.
Right.
So you got to find a way to get out of this group. It's like, bro, we can't take two of these L's in a row.
I understand that, but there has to be a little bit of more grace given.
You're not giving enough grace?
For the Olympics, given that these are younger players, they don't have the same experience.
Nope.
Should they get out of this group?
Tell me this group, most have played for the senior team, don't have enough quality to get out of this group?
They do. I'm just saying.
Then stop right there. End of the show. That was great. Guys, love you guys.
Wrap it up. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in.
All right.
No, I offer a little bit of grace, given that the U.S. hasn't been in the Olympics in a long time. And look at Argentina, look at, like, these are not the senior teams. It's much more unpredictable. They don't have the same level of quality and experience and maturity.
So don't you walk away though thinking, okay, our senior team doesn't make it through. Oh, now even our development sucks?
Yes, you do walk away with that, but you have to.
So you still have grace you're giving.
I'm still knowing
the repercussions of this.
What are the repercussions exactly? I mean, qualifying for the Olympics are the more important part. Look, nobody's going to be mad at Argentina if they don't win the gold medal.
They don't have to. They were the World Cup champs.
Exactly. I'm just saying that the expectations are just a little bit different. I look at the Olympics on the men's side as more of a where we are in development. And that is where I am. I'm not necessarily worried about the final result, and that will determine how I sort of feel about this, about the team or the program.
It's also
we should get out of the group, though. Yeah. I mean,
tell me the scenario where we don't get out of this group, and yet you're okay with it.
The scenario. I mean, if we lose 3-0 every game
to France. Oh, well, and then what grace do you have?
No. I will not have grace. I will have less grace because I think that is a poor showing, and it tells me that they didn't adapt or mature throughout the tournament and throughout each game. So
Yeah, I guess I kind of hear what you're saying, but it's also frustrating because the only way we don't make it out of this group is if we either draw both of these games, which means we weren't good enough, or we lose one of these games, probably the next one to New Zealand, because then they'll have 6 points.
Mm-hmm.
And then we weren't even good enough to beat New Zealand or Guinea?
Yeah, that's not ideal.
I guarantee you if we step outside and ask 100 people, 99 of them will not be able to point to Guinea on a map.
But
if we held up and said, point to Guinea, someone's going to point to an Italian guy in that 100.
Not Papua New Guinea. Yeah, Guinea. Yeah.
Just Guinea. It's different.
Not Equatorial Guinea.
Damn.
There's a lot of Guineas. Anyway, I sort of think we're sort of lost or going back and forth, and it's like, how upset should you be? I just think for a lot of these players, this is their first kind of like big tournament, and that's where my mind is at. So that's where
it's not enough of an excuse, though.
I mean, I don't know how upset this is impossible to quantify. How upset should we be?
I don't think it's about how upset. I just think you're saying like, well, no, if it's we don't get out of the group, it's okay. I think if we lose,
I did not say it was okay. I just said I will offer a little bit of grace.
Yeah, that's but I think the grace for me ends at, okay, you lost to France. That could happen to literally anybody.
Of course, of course.
Now that grace is done.
We're about to
play two teams that we should be able to beat. You really should be able to beat New Zealand, who historically have been very poor in international football. Mm-hmm. And we really should be Guinea, a team that we have a higher level of quality than.
Right.
And I'm not saying on their day they can't provide a much, much, much different competition that we're prepared for. But we should still be able to rise to a level a little bit higher than that.
I agree. That's it. That's where we're like.
All right. You know what?
Nice little shake.
How about that? One more time. No more vegan cheese. How about that?
Okay. Vegan cheese is pretty good. I don't mind it. I mean, I also like regular pizza. I'm not against regular pizza.
All right, folks. Stop sending your angry emails.
Okay. You know, but feel free to send hateful comments to help with our engagement on social media.
I think they're doing that without you asking.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. And when we come back, we'll talk about Argentina and Morocco and the madness that was. Argentina and Morocco, one of the wildest games, even without the controversy, it was still a pretty crazy game.
Exciting if you are not Argentinian.
Sure.
Or if you're French.
Also,
right now,
this game was played in Marseille.
Yeah.
Which
has a massive Moroccan population.
If you looked at
this, would be like a DR playing a baseball game in the Bronx.
Yes. Perfect analogy.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody gets it. But no, this was when you looked at the crowd, very little white and blue. You know, it was all red, maroonish red.
This was a Morocco home game.
There was a Morocco home game, and just the beginning of the game, the booing of the national anthem for Argentina.
Well, this was a rough situation for Argentina, because not only are you playing Morocco in a predominantly Moroccan city, but it also happens to be a French city. And with what's recently happened, this feels like the worst case scenario for you. The only thing worse is if you're playing at like Wesley Fofana's family's house.
Why is the game being held in Wesley Fofana's backyard?
Yeah.
Not a good idea.
Son.
We didn't need to do this. It's just a huge reminder, a stark reminder of like how dumb Enzo's decision to go live and sing that song, and given that he's not the one that had to go to France and play in the Olympics.
Right.
He was playing Copa America, won the trophy, did his own thing.
And now your people got to answer for this.
Yeah.
Now your boys got to do something about this.
You're like, dog, why you put me in this position?
Damn. Now I got to go out there and answer for you?
I wasn't even there. And I got to answer for you. So that's the bad situation that the Argentinian players got put in.
That's like that party we went to. It was a fashion and football party.
Yeah.
And someone was wearing an Argentina shirt tucked into his pants. It was a beautiful outfit.
Uh-huh.
It all worked when he turned around. It was an Enzo shirt.
And
we're like, now you're making a statement. You know what I mean? You ain't got another one in the closet that fits with your outfit, bro.
I mean, if it was messy, we would have looked the other way.
But we wouldn't even have noticed. But bro, that's on purpose, fam.
Because you're standing 10 toes.
Right?
So look, if you didn't see the game or you're not exactly aware of what happened, the game ended up, it was 2-1 Morocco. But this is the timeline of the game of the goals and everything that happened. So in the 47th minute, Morocco scores. The 49th minute in the second half, they score. They get a penalty. Argentina score, which was like I was surprised because Morocco was defending pretty well and Argentina weren't getting that many chances.
No, Argentina were not good in this game.
And then in
literally the dying minutes of extra time, added time.
In the 106th minute of extra time, so 90 plus 16
of added time.
Of added time. Time.
Literally the last kick of the game.
100%. But they also, were you watching the game live?
Yeah.
When I saw the 15 minutes, I was like, hold up.
Where did that come from?
What? Were we watching the same game?
Fam, something's wrong with your wristwatch.
Okay. You need to, like, if it's a dial, you need to replace the battery. Because this was crazy. When I saw the 15, I'm like, this is... And we remember during the World Cup when they were...
But that was, like, purposeful.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Which that's what I was thinking. Where in the World Cups, that there was this initiative to make sure that the 90 minutes are played. So they told the referees, like, "Hey, add like a realistic amount of time.
If the ball goes out for 12 seconds, add 12 seconds.
Add 12 seconds. Yeah. You know, they might have been like, add 30, just to like, you know, so we get a little bonus footy.
This ref was like still on World Clock on World Cup,
World Cup time,
World Cup time, bro.
And so that was unbelievably shocking. And then, look, then the goal happens. So we'll look back at the timeline. So
Medina scores the goal, celebrates in front of the Morocco fans.
Yes.
Which.
And as soon as that happens.
Not that you shouldn't, but, you know, read the room.
Okay. It's not your fault. Your boy Enzo got you in this whole mess.
Oh, you might want to leave the stadium at some point. So, figure out. But he scores, obviously. Anyone's going to feel a certain rush of emotion by scoring at the last second like they did. So they celebrate. All of a sudden, I see bang, bang.
Like literal firecrackers,
firecrackers
on the field. I mean, and also other projectiles. Yeah. There's a bunch of stuff thrown.
Bottles, stuff like
Fans running onto the pitch.
Yeah.
You saw all the stewards trying to catch people.
Stewards have never once caught anybody ever in any game in history. You've got a half-asleep 16-year-old is one of the stewards. And the other guy's 65 years old, retired 10 years ago as a gym teacher. He's only here to watch the game like this. No steward has ever stopped anyone ever.
Exactly.
But anyway, I'm sorry. I digress.
No. So it was a complete bedlam. And the game was suspended immediately.
This is important. The goal goes in. People are cheering and celebrating, right?
Firecrackers
are getting tossed. There's one where I forget who it was, leaned over. I think it was Julian Alvarez leaned over to be like, "Hey, what's that thing they threw?" And bang, it goes off.
Which was scary to see.
Scary sight, right? Nobody wants that. So people are rushing the pitch. Boom, cancel, suspend the match.
Mm-hmm.
Had that suspension not happened, what would have happened is what proceeded.
Yes.
Except it was about a 90-minute gap.
It was like almost 2 hours.
Almost 2 hours.
I was watching the Dominican Republic play. Yeah. I'm like, okay. Oh, wow. What a comeback from Argentina. I completely just...
You know who else did that? Tim Howard. He drove away. They drove. They left.
Oh, they left the studio.
They had to come back. They had to come back. The announcers had to come back because 90 minutes later... They realize, okay, end of the match suspension. Hey, that goal didn't count. It was offside.
Right.
So now what do you do? Well, now there's about 3 minutes left to play of this match. So they told the teams, hey, go warm up.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go back on this pitch and finish 3 minutes. No fans in the stadium.
No fans, yeah. Yeah, they got everybody out of there. And seeing... also, when they started the match up again... So we all knew, like, they had already shown the VAR. So we all knew the result.
And he was offside.
It was completely offside. It was, I mean, Argentina, they can't be upset at that whole scenario. It was a wild sequence, right? It was like three shots, the goalkeeper stopping. The Moroccan goalkeeper was unbelievable. Just like the senior team Morocco goalkeeper.
Bono,
something like that. This goalkeeper was made some incredible. Unbelievable stops. So easily man of the match for me. It was incredible. So I love that they had to do the formality of like, so they had this nearly 2 hour gap, get all the players back on the pitch. Ref is like talking to Otamendi and goes, okay, and does the VAR signal, walks up to the screen,
looks at it, like, yeah, so this an hour ago.
And then he's like, I already seen this movie before. I don't know why.
But my favorite part was it felt like a little bit of pageantry because he says over the speakerphone to nobody because there's no one in the stands. But he says like VAR found that, you know, whatever, it's offside, no goal. And then the Moroccan and Argentinian start arguing with the ref. Why are we still doing that, bro? This decision was made an hour ago.
There's no way you didn't argue about this already.
Yeah. Also, you're not going to get him to overturn it, fam. Everyone's back in the stadium.
And it's just like, it's conclusive evidence. Yeah. It was offside or whatever. It's just so surreal, the fact that this is even happening or whatever. But they're, you know, obviously, so they played the rest of the game and
legitimately 3 minutes. They played 3 minutes and then a whistle blew.
And Morocco 100% deserved to win this game. You know, they did enough to get the 3 points. But this, there was a little bit of like, especially given that the game is in France and that Argentina thought they at least got a result and all this. And there's, I mean, the internet and I was just like, good for them.
If you're
good
a conspiracy theorist, also you're like, all right, I see what's going on here.
Okay, the universe has spoken.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe I don't know if they call it even now or whatever, but it is what it is. But just a wild turn of events, and again, we haven't even had the opening ceremony to talk about.
Technically, the Olympics have like not started.
Yeah,
and look at everything that's going on already.
So incredibly entertaining. The other game I wanted to talk about real quick is Dominican Republic against Egypt.
Should we do that on the other side of this break?
We'll right back after this and we'll talk DR Egypt.
And we're back on the Cooligans. While the rest of us were paying attention to some of the bigger matches, there's no bigger match in the Polanco household
than
Egypt versus the Dominican Republic.
Right. And also, regular cheese pizza versus vegan pizza.
Bro, this was another big vegan cheese matches for the most of us. But big hit in your house.
No, look, if people are not aware, the Dominican Republic qualified in soccer for in the Olympics for the first time in their history. This is, it's literally unprecedented, unbelievable.
This is massive for Caribbean football.
100%. Yeah. So this is a great sign. They beat teams like other teams in CONCACAF. I believe the match that they won might have been against Nicaragua or Guatemala. And to beat them to get to this tournament is remarkable. So, DR, 0-0 against Egypt.
Big result.
Huge result. To get a point here. The team is made up of a bunch of players who some play for the Dominican Republic. Where are the we're looking at they have no pictures. They have no profile photos.
I gotta say though, there's two pictures out of 11. That's progress for the DR.
We got two photos. Yeah.
Two photos. That's a big deal.
The goalkeeper Valdez, who plays for the Houston Dynamo, he's like a backup keeper.
Hey,
and one of my favorite players, the Dominican Heinz Marshall.
Yes, you guys. Think of all the friends that you have that are Dominican and are named Heinz Marshall.
Okay, that's my homie.
There's Heinz so many. It's the Pedro Gonzalez of the Dominican Republic.
This is his name might just be Juan, bro. Like this is a common name.
You just call him Juans.
Juans is crazy. That's a great name. It is not.
Shout out to the Dominican Republic, though, of doing a good job of going out and finding dual nationals.
Sure, yes.
Which is how you find a Dominican named Heinz Marshall.
And we know, we saw Ruben Vargas at the Euros, who plays for Switzerland. Right. Dominican dad.
Right, traitor. I mean, yeah, plays for Switzerland. No.
Dominican dad. Swiss mom, and he's crushing it out there.
He's doing great.
We claim him. Well, mm-hmm. We love it. But the fact that DR got a result here is huge in their first ever Olympic match. And there was it's not going to break down a 0-0 game that much, but there was a goal that was taken back. That was, I forgot who scored it. I think it was, what was his name? I don't remember his name, but there was a, so essentially the Dominican player takes it, the Egyptian center back, goalkeeper, sent it to like, gives it to the center back, and the center back is like dribbling the ball inside his own box. Dominican player comes from behind, taps the ball away, and hits it into the goal. The referee blows the whistle before the ball is in the net, so obviously it can't count, and VAR can't look at it. But you look at the replay, he gets the ball. And
he's the one who's fouled.
He is the one who is fouled.
So it shouldn't even be a penalty now that I think about it.
And it's so egregious that this was the call. So frustrating. It would have been, Dominican Republic's first goal in this tournament. Look, the fact that it was 0-0.
Was the ref Puerto Rican? Why are the Dominicans?
We have to. There's so much.
We got to investigate.
You can't. You look. In refs, if there's a rivalry, you got to say like, hey, you're a great ref.
Conflict of interest.
You're a great ref. But you get, this game.
Not this one, Papa.
Okay.
Go back. Go listen to Bad Bunny in the corner until the next match.
Okay. This was really, really frustrating, but I was proud of the team. So that was exciting to see.
It's huge, man. Shout out to DR.
The bigger
controversy. Yeah, I was like, I noticed the players. There should be a third photo.
There should be a third photo. And the bigger controversy here was the Leeds left back, Junior Firpo.
Who was playing for Spain
at the youth levels, filed the one-time switch. He has already played in a few friendlies for the Dominican Republic, and he is not on this roster. Everybody was confused because
he said he was going to be there.
He said he was going to be there. DR said, we're going
to... Wait, a Dominican man not showing up to a place he said he was going to be.
Hold on.
Bro. Wait a minute. This sounds familiar, though.
Alexis.
Yeah.
We got... I can defend him, all right?
He said he loved me. Yo, there's so many Dominican women right now that are like starting to... Thank you.
Piece it together. Yeah, it's like, okay.
Thank you, Alexis.
So... Huh? This is Junior Firpo was clearly
actually if it was really Dominican, we'd just be playing with another team and not saying anything.
Why is Junior Firpo on the Japanese national team? Very strange.
Why is it saved on your phone as 10 from work?
So he everybody's expecting him to play. I'm watching the game, I'm ready, I'm like, this is gonna be great, I'm excited to see him play. And he is not there. So start asking around. And apparently Leeds United decided to block him from playing in the Olympics. Apparently
they blocked all their players from playing in the Olympics.
Yes. But still.
Yeah.
Still. This is...
You're like, no, they did me wrong.
Okay. Forget about all those other people. Yeah. Why is Leeds personally attacking me?
You're like with someone in a class action lawsuit going, okay, but how much am I getting?
So this is really shocking, really frustrating. So Junior Firpo, who is a...
top quality player.
Top quality. Played at Real Betis. Played at Barcelona. Mm-hmm. Transfers to Leeds. And obviously, trying to help them get back into the Premier League.
Try to get them promoted.
Yes. This is also a contract year for him. He files the one-time switch. Because he's like, all right, I'm probably not going to get an opportunity to play for Spain. Let me play for the country I was born in. Mm-hmm. And let's see how that goes.
And he wanted to play in the Olympics. That's very important. He made the switch to play in the Olympics.
He wouldn't have even made the switch if DR doesn't qualify for the Olympics. In my opinion, because obviously the Dominican Republic like soccer program is in its infancy.
Yeah.
They're trying to figure everything out.
It's three guys in the corner of a baseball locker.
They're like, hey, okay, I got an idea.
Yeah. Have we thought about kicking this thing?
You could put a little curve on it, too, if you kick it. The fact that DR, reaches this unbelievable milestone now opens up the opportunity for those dual nationals. A lot of Spanish Dominicans.
Right.
To maybe make the switch and play. Because the main thing is, like, they really want to play in Nations League Group C games.
Yeah.
Like, of course, that's not that exciting, but the Olympics is a huge opportunity. And
meaningful competition. This was what they switched. This is why he switched.
Exactly.
This would make other, Vargas might even think about it. He's not going to. But you know what I mean? This would make other people think like, oh, wow, okay, this is a meaningful.
Exactly. And the fact that Leeds, and it was basically up until the day before the tournament. Everybody thought he was going to be there. And then they, at sort of the last minute, they said, no, none of our players are going. This is a thing, at least for me, I'm like, I don't know if I can ever forgive Leeds for this. This is crazy. I'm like genuinely upset that this is the situation. That Firpo, he had posted on Instagram and he did the polite thing and essentially just said like, hey, I have to respect what my club's decision. We're looking at it. It's in Spanish, but he's being political. It's a contract year. He might get an offer from them, or they might sell him in this window or the winter transfer window. So, I know he is seething. This is I don't even know how to feel. It's just like so. I'm upset for myself. I'm upset for him.
But this just means now that DR has to work a little bit harder to get in another meaningful competition so that we can see this come to fruition.
Exactly. Okay, so yeah, we got to qualify for the World Cup now. Okay, so no pressure.
Hey,
no
48 teams.
I mean, it's not impossible.
It's not impossible. 48 teams. And the U.S. and Mexico and Canada already qualified.
Right, right. So there's going to be opportunities to get in. But, bro, this is so frustrating.
You can't be the St. Kitts and Nevis.
We can't. It should have. You
can't get in there and bang a little bit with the El Salvadors of the world.
I mean, it's going to be, look, how many more spots are there for CONCACAF? Is it six or seven or six and a half?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I think it is six and a half. There's a playoff with another federation.
So essentially, three more guaranteed spots, I think. And then it's going to be, you figure Jamaica, you figure Costa Rica. Who, I mean, then there's opportunities there for like another, there's going to be somebody that is like, whoa, I can't believe they made it. It could be, yeah, Guatemala, Nicaragua. Like,
you got to be able to beat like a Belize. You know what I mean?
Panama as well. Like this, there's Panama is probably more high up there.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, this is, it's not impossible, but it's, again, I'm like watching this game and I'm just like, throughout the whole thing, I'm just like, why is it Firpo here? Yeah, this is crazy.
Even I'm throwing you like, Firpo would have done this better.
Just so crazy that he's not there. But look, and even without him there, I thought that the team played really well. They, again, I don't, you know, I don't watch Egyptian youth football that much. So I'm not.
Wow, what a fraud.
So I don't know what sort of where they at, but I was really, really impressed and proud of the team. I thought they did really, really well. And to get a result, and you got a goal taken back. And this is, you know, this is the state of refereeing that we got to live with nowadays. But their next game is against, oh boy, who are they playing? It's a really tough.
Click
Spain,
on it.
Spain.
Oh.
So this is going to be a real test of character.
Ouch.
Okay, you got it. Playing your colonizer, your former colonizer. Maybe that'll.
Right?
Get them spirits up?
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay, we're trying to find it.
Or adds another W to their column.
They're like, oh, okay, we're coming back. Yeah. We're taking the country
again.
I feel
like we've done this to you guys already.
So I just hope it's not too bad. But even just getting that point against Egypt.
That's massive. Let's start there. That's huge. It's more than the U.S. got.
Exactly. Okay, more Olympic drama we gotta discuss it with Canada women. So right now we're recording this before the U.S. women's game. Right. Just so we're obviously not gonna be able to talk about it because there's not much that they're playing. Who are they playing?
Zambia.
Zambia.
Yeah,
I think that who's they're playing.
They
first.
Are because they're playing Barbara Banda.
Got it. Okay. So we won't be able to talk about the game, but we have to talk about Canada and New Zealand. The women's sides that are got into
right
again. A lot of drama before a ball
is
kicked.
I do want everyone to know, though, Riley, I forget her
name. Riley.
Allie Riley is out. She's their best player.
Injury.
And they won their first ever World Cup match in the last Women's World Cup. First ever in history.
Yes.
Just to give you an idea of what the level of the New Zealand team
is. Right, right. They,
before you explain what
nobody's
happened.
Nobody's necessarily expecting anything.
Canada, who won the Olympics last.
Gold medalist.
Yeah,
yes.
Won the Olympics. Exactly. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Gold medalist. They should be able to beat the New Zealand team, not easily, but without anything suspicious.
Exactly. And that what ended up happening was two staff members for the Canadian women's soccer team were sent home after it was discovered that one of the staff members was flying a drone over the New Zealand training.
Right.
And so basically the guy that was flying the drone got in huge trouble. And his boss, one of the Canada staff members, also sent home as well, because obviously she was overseeing him. And nobody can really make much sense of this. So the
coach even removed herself
from the first game, right? And so essentially, New Zealand filed a complaint with the IOC, the people who oversee the Olympics. And this is it's a huge controversy.
Yeah,
I mean we've for the older folks, you've experienced it with Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. And Spygate and when they were hiring people to watch the training of the other
cam. No, they were filming the camera across.
Right.
Across the field.
Exactly.
Almost said pitch. God, I watch so much soccer.
So it's obviously
Spygate.
Yeah. It's something obviously you're not supposed to do, and it's clearly frowned upon.
I feel like everyone does it in a way. Even on Morning Footy, which I got some disrespectful DMs because I said, whatever, rubbing is racing. You know, like people, there's always a little bit of advantage being taken. I think back to Sir Bobby Robson used to do this. Jose Mourinho, Andre, you remember Andre Villas-Boas? He was the Tottenham manager for a while, and then he became the Zenit St. Petersburg manager. He was originally... How he got a start in football was, he's a rich kid, but he lived in the same building as Sir Bobby Robson and was like, oh my God, dude, I want to, like, he loved tactics so much. He like wanted to help. Ends up getting involved with Mourinho during his time in Porto. And Mourinho sends him out to be his spy. So he would spy on the other team. One of their famous tactics, which actually worked,
mm-hmm.
was he would pretend to be a British tourist or a tourist from another city and would just happen upon another stadium and go, oh, I was told you guys were doing tours today. I flew all the way here just for this. And other teams would be like, oh my God, we'll get in here. And someone would walk them around, explain to them, and then let them sit and watch training. And they would be like, oh, I don't know anything about football. What's happening? And they're like, oh, well, that's a striker. And meanwhile, they're taking notes. This tactic worked.
Unbelievable.
Sir Bobby Robson started this. He would get his assistants who were English
to
go out and pretend to do this. This is what, to me, it's like, I get that we're all like appalled, and we should be. You should not cheat, especially when in the Olympics, which is like, come on, integrity is kind of the whole thing here. You know, someone tell the Russians. But integrity is part of it. You should have integrity to do this, especially to get caught doing it against New Zealand, a team you should beat without cheating.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. But at the same time,
they did beat them. They played earlier this morning and they did win 2-1.
But what I'm saying is you should beat them. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like it's to feel like the need to have to cheat is, especially when you're the gold medal winner last time.
But it was discovered that they did it twice, not just once. They flew the drone over training twice, which again, I don't understand the was it like a rogue staff member that was like, hey, I'm going to try to...
I got an idea. Yeah.
And it's like, because it seemed like the coach and the rest, and basically all the statements were like, we didn't know this was going on.
It seemed like there was a lot of confusion as to like...
It's like, trying to get footage for his reel? I'm just getting an editor's reel, director or something. It makes no sense. And it has nothing to do with the players themselves. It's just such a like... stupid and silly thing to do. I don't even know if it happened once, you would think like, oh, maybe it was just like testing it out and whatever.
Right. There's like plausible deniability or whatever it is. But I think the worst thing is the people were saying like the team should forfeit or the players, like the team should have some. Don't punish the players. The players weren't flying the drones.
Yeah,
for the most part, it looks like they didn't know about this.
Exactly. I'm not necessarily saying that there shouldn't be some severe penalty, because if that ended up being the penalty, I'd kind of understand. I mean, you see, with in the other events in the Olympics, anything if doping is like the sort of the serious case, but if there's any sort of sign that anybody is like trying to gain an advantage in an illegal way, they're like, you're done.
Yeah, you can't cheat in the Olympics.
You can't. They're not even not even a little bit. They
That's
don't
like
even...
a big part of it. You know what I mean?
Dude, from even from whenever, like in the 1800s when the damn Olympics started, they were...
When the dude ran 26.2 miles and collapsed to tell them... I don't know what he was. I forgot what the note
when
was.
When did the Olympics actually start?
That was the first. That was the
it
start
had to
of
be,
it.
No, but it had to be like, I said 1800, but it had to be way earlier.
No, way earlier.
Yeah. How long? How long has it been? Anybody look it up? Just I'm just curious. Had to be
1600s?
16?
Or has it been going on for 2,000 years, has it? Did they host the Olympics at the Colosseum in Rome? No.
Probably, right?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
All right. Well, look, we're learning today. Any news?
It seems like an easy thing to Google.
Well, we got two people. First modern games. Okay. Ah, okay.
Hey, so 1800s is right.
All right. Yeah, for some reason, I just thought it was much, much longer. But, whatever.
Wow, the history of the Olympics can be traced back to nearly 3,000 years to the ancient Greek games.
Look at that.
So, they were in the
were they,
was Greek games.
Was anybody flying drones during...
You know, there was one guy attached to rope. Like, looks like they're going to use lions. Yeah.
So... wow, just a ridiculous situation and embarrassing, really, for Canada, a country that does not need to do this at all. It really makes no sense. Regardless of the opponent, you're literally the best team. Yeah. Why are you doing this? It makes no real sense. So, all right. A lot of Olympics chat. The last thing real quick, MLS All-Star happened over yesterday. And
I watched it.
I did watch it.
Don't feel great about having watched it, but I watched
it. It's fine. I mean, we didn't get to go this year, but but it was still, I watched the Skills Challenge, watched the game as well. Liga MX won both the Skills and so mm-hmm. now, I don't know how much stock you put in the, like, is it the bragging rights? How much are the bragging rights even worth anymore?
With League's Cup, I don't think that really matters. That feels significant for bragging rights.
Exactly.
But as far as All-Star games go, it seemed kind of pointless.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, I'm a fan of the festivities around.
Same. It's different, though. What's the average fan really care about this game? Do you really care what it looks like when Ricky Puig passes to Lucho Acosta?
I mean, it's kind of fun to see. It's like, seeing them, the link up play. And like, there were a couple moments.
Fun.
There was a couple, I think it was it Ricky and Cucho? I forgot who it was. But there was like a couple 1-2s. And mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, they barely know each other. And they're like connecting pretty well. Like,
when I was in Italy, there was a candy bar that I purchased. I forget what the name of it is, but you know how much I love those candy bars. I don't know if you call it a candy bar. It's like the butter cookie with a piece of chocolate on top. It's like Le Petit Ecolier is one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I forget the name of the other one. There's two versions of it. There's one where it's like two. It's the chocolate is smashed between two of those cookies. And I was like, I gotta try this. Mm-hmm. And I picked it up and I tried it. And I was like, it's not great, but it was kind of fun.
Okay.
That is what you just said about MLS Cup.
Okay. It is what it is. I mean, I'm not I'm not screaming from the rooftops how great it is, but it has its value, in my opinion. I think out of MLS All-Star, probably the bigger talking points were the state. Is it the state of the league?
Yeah, the state of the league that usually Don Garber hosts before the game.
Yes, before MLS All-Star. And there were a couple talking points, the one about expansion.
Right. Something always pops up in this. This is like, this is like a good opportunity for like a quote. And exactly. This time it was about MLS Open Cup.
And then,
the U.S. Open
Cup. U.S. Open Cup. they love to rebrand it.
Yeah, that maybe he'd care about it more.
But this was, he was asked questions about Open Cup because we know this year that a lot of the MLS teams, the senior teams, didn't participate. And they put in their second teams, the MLS Next Pro team. And it was a whole, A lot of fans are very frustrated.
But that was also
a
compromise because originally he said we were just going to pull out all MLS teams.
Exactly. So, and this was one of the quotes. It says, Don Garber says, quote, there were 1,400 people in the stands in Atlanta for the U.S. Open Cup game they played the other night. And that
wasn't in Atlanta, by the way. It was in Kennesaw.
Yeah. So that's kind of it's a little misleading.
That could have just been a simple mistake, but.
But it is. Oh,
but that's still like kind of your bad. If an MLS team can't garner more interest than 1,400 people,
yeah,
that's also kind of on you. No,
there's a little bit of like this isn't the flex you think it is thing. It's like and we know where MLS and Don Garber stand when it comes to U.S. Open Cup. They really kind of see it as sort of useless to them. They don't really make much money from it. They feel like they shouldn't have to put their players in a competition that doesn't bring much revenue to them. So from a business standpoint, like that's where he stands, and we sort of comprehend that. But what's been happening lately is that fans have been protesting Leagues Cup because they basically say like, okay, well, if you don't want to support U.S. Open Cup in this tournament that we appreciate and we value, then the one that you sort of want to replace the U.S. Open Cup, we're not going to support that. And a few teams and a few supporters clubs have outright said, like, we're not going. We recommend that you do not go. We're not going to bring any
atmosphere
and stuff like that. So that is whether you think that's wrong or right, they are completely allowed to have that position.
I mean, that's the one power they have is to not go to something.
Yeah, so. In my opinion, it's like I would like Leagues Cup to be supported, and I would also like U.S. Open Cup to be supported. I want all the MLS teams to play. Like, I understand the maybe the players don't necessarily feel that way because they're like, all right, we're playing in too many matches. But that's in a perfect world. That's sort of what I would like to see. More than anything, I think this is we're sort of at a point where there has to be some sort of either compromise or understanding or just the picture has to sort of be laid out of like, what is Leagues Cup going to mean to us? Just as fans, what is the U.S. Open Cup going to mean to us? Because I know you can find the poorly attended U.S. Open Cup game and be like, you see, this is what. But there's also U.S. Open Cup games that have thousands and thousands of people and are very, very well supported. Right. And it also highlights the lower league clubs that do get a lot of support. And that's kind of the main thing. It's like this is sort of making me realize even more that that FA Cup and Carabao Cup and those other tournaments that we sort of were trying to essentially mimic, and that the pro rel nature of those leagues makes those cup competitions feel much more significant and valuable and meaningful.
Is it not true that the US Open Cup is older than the FA Cup?
Don't know.
I believe it is.
Oh, I don't know.
All right, we'll find out.
We'll find out. And we'll see where.
I hear a lot of tippy tapping going on behind us. So I know our producers are on top of that. They'd be like, "What the hell is Alexis drinking before the show?" I think the part that frustrates me is that Leagues Cup, while a fine competition, there's nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. It's these top flight teams versus Mexican top flight teams, another country that doesn't have promotion and relegation right now, seemingly never again in the future. They also stopped playing their version of U.S. Open Cup, by the way. I don't know if you know that. They canceled theirs as well.
Oh, I did not know that.
There's no, if you're not in a city that has an MLS club, if you're not in a town that has an MLS club, if you are in a market outside of that, now you're not getting to see these teams. Now you're not getting to see your team play a higher caliber competition. Yep. I think back to my time at Louisville. Louisville City has a beautiful stadium. It's 14,000 seats. It's for the most part sold out every week. Their supporters are absolutely incredible. I got a chance to hang out with them. It felt like any other MLS club, any other MLS city. It felt like any other European city that had a team they supported. Obviously not to the grandeur of Premier League and things like that. But to them, it's as meaningful as anything else. This is my local team. They have a professional-looking stadium. There's the beautiful grass. It's built purposely for that. It's near downtown. It's in downtown, technically. All these things, they've ticked every box. But now, all of a sudden, you're not going to get a chance to play other than the teams you already play. you're not going to get a chance to play a new division, a higher caliber, simply because it doesn't fit into the contractual obligations.
Or the business model.
Well, yeah, or the business model that of the top flight, which I just think is just not fair for these other smaller clubs. And yes, you're going to be, there's going to be a liquor store from Texas you're going to have to play every once in a while on a high school field. And there's going to be teams that are not well supported in areas that aren't well supported. But that still takes away from the overall and what the competition means for U.S. soccer as a whole. And I think it's, I get the point and I get where it's all coming from. And I understand. And I also don't think Don Garber's wrong in the sense of like, you know, this needs to be a better competition. Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Pulling out of it doesn't help that.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think in, when you think of the bigger picture of what soccer in America is and what it could be. And yes, we are doing the like, we should be like England because look at the lower leagues that they can survive and all this other stuff. And there has to be some sort of compromise of like what the you know, it's not going to be exactly like England. It's not going to be like the European countries, but there has to be something closer than just like we're done with it. And the reason Leagues Cup does well is because both leagues are helping each other. There's a lot of fans of Liga MX clubs that will go see teams because they don't obviously get the opportunity to see these teams very often.
There's a lot of folks that are Mexican that live here and incentive, aren't able to go watch Club America.
There's incentive. There's reason. There's an emotional connection with the teams that they're at least one of the teams that they're going to watch play. And the possibility, the dream of a U.S. Open Cup being really successful is the same exact thing that they're fans that are like, there is an emotional, there's a story here. I can watch this minnow, this club, this small club defeat, you know, and that story alone might be enough in England to like propel the or just keep those lower leagues like thriving. It just doesn't really work the same exact way here because we're kind of,
but the competition existed for a long time before it was. There's no real need to have, make an insane amount of money with every match.
I mean, people in MLS probably argue differently, right? They would say like, no, there is a need to make a lot of money in every match because in for this example, I mean, this game wasn't played at the Benz, but if 1,400 people show up to the Benz, that's probably the staff that is at the stadium.
Yeah, obviously it costs a lot of money. So
that's the main thing.
Did we figure out which one's older? U.S. Open Cup 1914.
FA is way before that. It has to be like 30 years before that.
So there's a technicality. The FA Cup started later, but they had a previous cup competition. Exactly. Okay, so technically, I was right. I think that's the most important part of
it. Interesting. Okay.
Thank you. No problem.
Thank you.
Do you know what the name of the cup was before that? Wasn't it like the Queen's Cup or some shit like that?
Okay. This is a larger conversation that probably requires a lot more time, but I think it's an important conversation to have about we have sort of talked about this a little bit, but I think it's we're at kind of a stalemate with what this is going to be like.
See, and here's where I disagree. And I know there's a clip of me talking about this. And if you watch Morning Footy, you heard a very impassioned speech moment that I had against this train of thought. I think he says specifically that, you know, this doesn't drive value. And I think at the end of the day, that's both an opportunity to really understand what they want. They want value, right? He wants value. What's that value to him? It's growing the asset, which at the end of the day, this is Don Garber's job. He's a commissioner who works for the owners of the teams.
Yeah.
That is it. I know every fan wants Don Garber to be the head cheerleader for this sport. Which if now you have an image in your head that I have and I can't get it out, not what I wanted, but you want him to be the harbinger of this sport in this country. We all want what's best for this sport in this country because if you're listening to this podcast or if you're watching Morning Footy, you care about the sport at a higher level than most, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you really care. And you want the guy in charge of MLS to almost have the same feelings you do, which is like, grow the sport, develop better players, be better in the World Cup, and then all of a sudden we'll get respect from the Brits, right? Sure. I don't know that that's his job. His agenda is not that. His agenda is to continue growing the sport, continue growing value in these teams, and blah, blah, blah. That, when you're an MLS and you're a closed system, he's kind of doing his job, and he's doing a pretty good job.
He's doing great at that.
He's doing a great job. So I want to remove that. I don't dislike Don Garber. I dislike what he has to do for his job, which is something along these lines. I would love for him to say, yes, This doesn't drive the value we want, i.e. makes enough money. Yes, this puts a lot of strain on our calendar. And because of contractual rules, we're not allowed to just bring up all the kids from MLS Next Pro 2. I wish he would say, but who cares? Because this is good for the sport. I would love for him to say that. I don't know that he has the clout to do that in the room with the owners. The owners are going to be like, what are you talking about, dude? We need to make money. That's why we're here, bro. Get the cigar out of his mouth. He doesn't, he hasn't earned it.
This is where U.S. soccer and that leadership should be the ones pushing back a little bit and making these decisions from these MLS owners
but
not
so easy.
But that's
the point I'm making is we're all mad at Don Garber. What we should be mad at is the collection of owners that are telling him, this is our want. Now go out there and make it happen. And now he's the one who has to take on. And I'm not defending Don Garber in any way, shape, or form. But I do think he's doing a good job because his job is to build value in these clubs and to build value in the league. Now, the other part of this is MLS has first division distinction. They are the first division. They are the top flight. You don't get to keep that. If you're U.S. soccer, if U.S. soccer really is now separate from MLS, and I know he's the commissioner, will always have a seat
like
on the board.
Board,
that's everywhere, right? And I know U.S. soccer and MLS are separate now. Yo, if you're really about your business, if you're really who you say you are, then dog, let's say, okay, well, you kind of have to do this to remain being the top flight. And now you're like, well, my hands are tied. We have to continue to support this competition. Yeah. And also, it's okay for Don Garber to call the competition and say, hey, the fields need to be better. The marketing needs to be better. The purse needs to be bigger. All of those things are also true. The end of the day, you saying we're going to remove our teams versus say, how do we work hand in hand to make this more meaningful for me? How do you let me get my beak wet a little more? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
My pockets ain't getting as full as they want to be. If you, that's fine. But now you're working with US Open Cup versus simply saying, yo, we're pulling out unless you can fix it, which now you're just putting the pressure on them to figure this out. Yeah. Also, you sit on the board. You're part of the reason. You need to be part of that. So that at the end of the day, that's where I have an issue.
Yeah, yeah. It shouldn't be sabotaged.
No.
At the very least. All right. So look, we can talk about this for days. But an interesting week, to say the least. Dramatic.
Somebody did DM me, though, or not DM me. Somebody quote tweeted me and was like, I'm tired of these pundits just talking about this. They need to come up with a solution. No, I don't. No, I don't.
What is it?
That's not my job, man. My job is to have an opinion, whether you like it or not. I had an opinion. My job is to come up with solutions for U.S. Open Cup.
Alexis, can you fix all our socioeconomic issues as well while you're at
That's
it?
That's crazy, bro.
All right, let's wrap up, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. Shout out to everybody listening to the Cooligans podcast. Shout out to everybody watching on YouTube. We appreciate it. Shout out to Andrew and Shelby looking up.
Hell yeah.
Greek Olympic history.
I'm going to call y'all Shandrew, yo.
Appreciate the support. We'll be back on Monday with a brand new episode. We got an exciting guest on Monday.
Ooh.
Ooh, so I'll just leave it at that. But, you know, he scored a couple goals for the U.S. So who could it be? Who could it be? So make sure you
tune in. It's not Alexi Lalas.
So make sure you tune in. Has he scored a goal for the U.S.? Anyway.
I think so. Yeah, a couple headers.
So tune in on Monday if we got an exciting episode. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all socials and subscribe here on YouTube. Y'all are the absolute best. See you Monday, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.